This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The major stock index is selling off today following remarks by Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, warning that Trump tariffs could drive up inflation and hurt economic growth.
Both survey and market-based measures of near-term inflation expectations have moved up significantly, with survey participants pointing to tariffs.
California Governor Gavin Newsom filing a lawsuit to block the impact of the tariffs, saying farmers' lives are being upended in the state and that the president doesn't have the constitutional authority to levy them. A federal judge to launch contempt of court proceedings over whether the Trump administration ignored a court order to return to the U.S. two planes filled with alleged gang members heading to El Salvador. Judge James Boasberg raising the prospect of appointing an independent lawyer. Pennsylvania State Police say the suspected arsonist of the governor's mansion, who allegedly tried to kill Governor Josh Shapiro, targeted him over, quote, perceived injustices to the people of Palestine. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland School Board met Monday night and unanimously approved revisions to Policy 5460 concerning graduation requirements effective immediately and retroactive to July 1, 2023. The old policy included language which allowed 7th and 8th grade students to earn credit towards a high school diploma. Since the 7th and 8th graders are now part of the Richland Center High School, the practice had continued to be followed. However, the language was omitted when the new policies were adopted. Because there are students who took a high school class taught by a certified high school teacher in a core subject area, the revision ensures students who took high school courses as 7th or 8th graders will receive the proper credit. Business manager John Bosworth also reported to the board that the district has benefited from the current market. Each year, as part of the transportation contract with Cobison, the district is responsible for securing vehicle propane to fuel buses. This propane is prepaid for the estimated usage in the school year being considered. The estimated usage will be 52,000 gallons. Premier Cooperative has given a quote of $1.399 a gallon for a total of $72,748. There is a state tax for a total of $11,752. The total cost to the district will be $1.63 a gallon. This is a savings of around 17.5 cents a gallon. The district anticipates an auto gas rebate credit of $18,972. The anticipated cost for 52,000 gallons of LP fuel for the 2025-26 school year is $65,528. The bad news is that the auto gas rebate program is likely to end with the new U.S. administration's changes to grant programs. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A Brewers win today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Tigers 5-1 to take that series 2-1. Jose Quintana gets the win. Last night, it was the Brewers' Quinn Priester. Did he know he had a no-hitter going into the sixth?
Yeah, but I also was kind of aware that the pitch count was up there and likely was going to have to turn the ball over. Unfortunately, didn't turn the ball over with the zero on the hit column still. Jared came in, dominated, got, saved me that run and saved us that run, and the bullpen just shut it down.
College football, Wisconsin Badgers need a new starting left tackle. Luke Fickell announcing that Kevin Haywood suffered a torn ACL during the team's spring practices last Thursday. He'll be out for the season. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard is back on the court after missing the past month with a blood clot in his right calf muscle. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It's just really skeleton stuff. No contact. He can exert himself more, which is good.
The Bucks face the Pacers Saturday in round one of the playoffs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 30s. And turning mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high in the mid-60s with some showers and storms in the afternoon and especially in the evening. Still some rain and storms around Friday, high 65 to 70.
Right now it's 58.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
New texter on our text line said this: I think any other president would take these protests very seriously, but our current one couldn't care less. Anybody remember, you know, Nero fiddling while Rome burned? You get a little of that vibe here? The man's off golfing over the weekend as the world economy is lit on fire and nosediving. Can't be bothered.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legal issues continue surrounding the man deported to El Salvador. Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen, as we kick off hour number two. So great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here at Nightlight. Conrad riding shotgun. If you were the lead actor or actress in a romantic comedy, who would you want to play your co-star? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. We've had some outstanding answers so far. Matt Miller coming up a little later here in hour two. Right now, this is really fun for me. I've got the legendary actor Mike Starr here. He's been over in over 300 films, TV credits too. He's done theater. He's an absolute treasure, and you've seen him in so many movies that you've probably forgotten about because he's in so many of them. The Bodyguard, Miller's Crossing, Dumb and Dumber, and Mike, I'll ask you about this one, Kill the Irishman.
Okay, can I first apologize? I know I did a lot of Chicago things. I do love Milwaukee and Wisconsin. I've had great experiences there, including being out for weddings and so many great times and. Stayed out in Milwaukee and made special trips not only with my wife but also with friends out there, and was lucky to work, and I even have these friends that have a film show on the radio in Kenosha, and so I try to I'm not competitors, it's all we're all in this together.
That's right.
But, and was lucky enough to go to Lambeau Field.
And,
like that, and spend great times in Wisconsin.
Listen, so it's a great, I mean, I've lived in Chicago, LA, and Wisconsin. I loved them all, but Wisconsin, where I live now in Northeast Wisconsin, is the easiest place to live you will ever. It's like heaven. The people are nice. It's just easy to get around. Yes. There's enough culture. It's fantastic. So, but thank you for the nice words. I was about to ask you about Kill the Irishman, this movie that you were in that not a lot of people saw. I just watched it like 3 years ago. Was that a good experience?
It was tremendous. It was about Danny Green.
Yeah.
And
Cleveland gangster, right?
Irish. It was a longshoreman and originally from Ireland. It's a really interesting story. The book was written by who's now a police commissioner, I think, in the suburbs of Ohio. At least he was at the time when he gave me the book, and he had been a patrolman, I think, way back then. There were, I think, 35 bombings in 1973 between these wars they were having. And, you know, you look at the cast we had, and of course, Ray Stevens, we lost, who was originally, I think, from Northern Ireland and England. He was a wonderful, wonderful actor, and we lost him at a young age. And he had played the lead, and he was just spot on, perfect.
Great.
Just great to be around. And there's, you know, you see all the other characters in our man Vince D'Onofrio, and we had,
it's a great cast.
Chris Walken, and you see Yeah. So, and Steve Shrum. Geez, I'm just thinking of all the people that were on it and some who are not with us anymore. Tony and...
Yeah, Ray Stevens was great. You are like, let's talk about that, Mike. You and I want to get to Dumb and Dumber and Miller's Crossing and maybe even The Bodyguard. We'll see how we do here. But like you've been described, everybody I've talked to about you, or if I said Mike Starr's coming on the show, whatever, I said, he is such a nice guy. He is one of the nicest guys you will meet in the entertainment business. For you, and you've worked with tons of people, who do you say that about?
Oh, Lord. Now you're going to get me in trouble if I start
saying give me two people.
So, okay, Gene Wilder. I'll pick people that aren't alive. So, I mean, how much? Geez, I'm thinking of so many. I mean, you know, I mentioned how nice Robert De Niro was to me, Dustin Hoffman, but John Lithgow. He got me work too.
That always helps.
Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos.
Oh yeah,
gotten me work a few times, and so many people. I was lucky enough to work with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick on Broadway, and a few other nice people.
Wow.
And geez, now I get nervous that I'm not going to say it's that cliche of who am I leaving out, but Gene Wilder was one of the most special people. You can't imagine. You couldn't wait to get to the set. We did these A&E mysteries he wrote, Agatha Christie style. We did a couple of those and special TV movies.
He's in Milwaukee. He was born in Milwaukee.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Oh, good. I finally
great
said
choice.
Right. Oh, the stories he would tell. I'd ask him about young Frankenstein. Hey, John Candy was a drink to be around, you
That's
know?
That's right. You were an Uncle Buck. That's
Uncle
right.
Uncle Buck, the drunken clown, right? Please help.
What are your, like, you play a great tough guy, Mike. I've seen you play cops. Where does comedy rank? Like, when you get to play comedy, is that like a nice added bonus to your career, or is it tops on your list?
Oh, geez. I don't want to make a cliche. It's all the same to me, but it's funny. They all have their, it's just, you know, Peter Farrelly told me, I think Jim Carrey was involved in the decision-making too, but Peter had said something that they wanted someone that had played these, you know, serious mob characters or whatever I was supposed to be. And it's funny. And you see so many wonderful actors who got their start in doing stand-up, but they didn't want like a stand-up comedian. He said, one of them said, something, I don't know, in that. But you see so many fabulous people who started in comedy or that we knew from comedy, and then you find out how wonderful they can be. But it's funny, some of only once or twice it would bite you if someone would say something like, but isn't he a comedian? How are they going to take him seriously as this character or the mob guy?
Interesting.
So, because if you did something that was popular, like Dumb and Dumber, not because of me, but it has such a following. It's outrageous internationally. I mean, people still talk of all ages. And that's so much fun. I mean, I don't like, I don't know what to say because I love period pieces, and I don't know how to say it. I mean, there's some things that aren't comedies, and you get to be kind of a funny guy. Like in The Natural, I was kind of, I improvised a few funny lines here and there, thanks to Barry Levinson. And I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I mean,
I think you just did.
It's so great to make people laugh. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I knew, you're rolling Dumb and Dumber. I knew every line at one point. Even when you come out of the restroom and you're like, feeling better, girls? Like, just everything you say to those guys is so funny. And it's such a scene.
It's written by them.
Yeah, but it's performed well, too. And I feel like, comedians should just act. Whether you're a comedian or whatever, the script is there.
Yeah.
That's the material. Just play it straight. And if it's funny, it's funny. But was that...
Yeah, whatever way you get there, as people say to me, you work at it. But
yeah,
it's a lot of the humor comes out of reality. I mean, you think of little things like in Goodfellas when Joe Pesci, after this terrible killing, he says, make that coffee to go,
right.
And they would lie in The Godfather. A lot of times humor comes out of that. And then there's different styles, of course, of comedy. And being on Dumb and Dumber was just the toughest part was to keep a straight face when I'm either supposed to be angry or dying or whatever. And these surprises come from Jim and Jeff, you know. And the Farrelly brothers tell me things about my guy Fred Stoller when I first met him with the phone booth.
Oh, he's great.
And he's just really hysterical, and he's a wonderful writer. He wrote, I know that he was on Seinfeld, Everybody Loves Raymond, but he also wrote on Seinfeld, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Fred did a lot of stuff.
Great comic.
He's been in touch with me.
And a great part. I mean, I forgot about the phone booth scene in Dumb and Dumber. That's classic. What was it like? Like, we talked about Miller's Crossing a little bit in our text exchange the other day, and you sounded excited to talk about that. What was it like working with the Coen brothers and Gabriel Byrne and Albert Finney and this great cast?
Oh, man. Too long a story on that one. If I could ask. I mean, Albert Finney.
The Danny Boy scene.
John's probably listening. And, but so many other things. Just the conversations. Again, Offset. Well, I was drinking then. Wait a second. The stories and the things they share and these people that you looked up to, and my partner in it, Al Mancini, God rest his soul, he was in, and Albert, but Gabe, there was so many like laughs and things. Gabe was filming off the set
and there
was just so much. And, John Turturro, I've worked and known for years. So we got to do that scene together and work together. And there's a lot of things I could tell you. And then having to all of a sudden come up with a song. And then what happened was they changed it. And another time I can tell you how I learned it going through customs.
But that really is you singing?
Yeah.
That's
what
so
happened
great.
Was why it doesn't look like it. I mean, people don't think, oh, yeah, not a singer, whatever. But I'm no genius. But what happened was that I did one that had this pace, dun, da, 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 something I'd learned in Northern Italy. And then they changed the song. I had about 5 days to a week, and I was going up doing this film about the Boston busing and Honor Bound or something. I was going up to Toronto, and I had to learn it. And even I asked neighbors, and they said the dialect was so strange to them. But so you don't see it on my mouth much because you go from back to that, to that, to that, and then the song in the film is da 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 da, and it was about Pavarotti's town. Ghirlandella is the song, if I'm pronouncing it right, and it's da 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 da. You know, it's like so. It's very hard to match the mouth, so yeah. They had to do sideways and things, and they actually, was it Joel? Ethan, I think, apologized to me. He said, we should have put you in the credits because people thought it was someone else, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
I got to be pretty obnoxious about it over the years. Mick Flanagan, a great line producer, said, if you ask Mike about Miller's Crossing, it's one of my favorite movies, but he'll immediately go, that was me singing, you know.
Oh, Mike Starr is here, ladies and gentlemen. He has been in such movies as The Bodyguard, Kill the Irishman, Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas. We'll have a couple more minutes with Mike after a very short break. And then Matt Miller comes up to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival. You got Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Get a sneak peek at the 2025 Wisconsin football team. Join us April 19th for Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase presented by UW Credit Union. The day kicks off with the Coles Kids Combine, followed by Badgers Open Practice at noon, featuring new faces like quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. and offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes. After practice, head to the field for photos with Badgers student-athletes. Tickets are $5 and free for football season ticket holders, UW students, and kids under 12. Claim your tickets for the Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase at uwbadgers.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. Tonight, Light, I am Pete Schwabba, and Matt Miller comes up in just a few minutes. We'll talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival. We have a couple more minutes here with our guest, Mike Starr, an actor with so many credits. You know his work from The Godfather.
Not Godfather.
The Bodyguard. Goodfellas. Bodyguard, Goodfellas, Miller's Crossing, so many great credits. Mike.
Can I just tell you that Miller's Crossing, that was an example of where there was some comic things we did, yeah. You know, but not complete, but things like when he hits me in the face with the chair and how we set it up. And the Coen Bros were just so great to be around. They're just like, and I did a lot of off-camera humor with them too.
That's great. I'm not surprised by that because you seem like a real jovial guy who likes to laugh. It did surprise me a little bit, maybe just because of his character, but that Gabriel Byrne was someone who liked to crack up and be funny. So,
He had a very dry sense of humor. I mean, I even called him Hammett, but he was great. He's very funny. He's really
That's
something.
That's so cool. Well, you'll have to come back because I'd love to do a deep dive I'd on some to. Of these things and sure. You know, talk to you more about your process and all that kind of stuff. But before we let you go, can you give me, you know, you've got like almost 300 movie credits, TV credits. If someone said, Mike, what three films of yours should I watch? What would your answer be?
Oh, Lord. I find it hard to...
You don't like to leave anybody out, I could tell.
Yeah, and also, I don't like to call them my films either. I mean, there's different things where you know, I mean, I think Ed Wood is a great experience to see. Yeah. And I had done this comedy with Wolf Friends and The Deli, where I played a degenerate gambler, live with his mom. But I mean, the obvious ones are Goodfellas, Bodyguard, you know, Dumb and Dumber. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, The Natural was such a great experience, but I'd love to, geez, if you ever see Path to Paradise, where I actually played an Egyptian, a blue-eyed redheaded, one of the 93 World Trade Center bombers before that, which was very controversial at the time and known in 9/11, but it was a fascinating study they did. And then but there's things that, like I said, did with Gene Wilder, and there are things that might not have been as well known. I mean, Black Dahlia was a great experience. Sometimes all the scenes, certain things don't get in the film, but of course, and again, Goodfellas was just like one of the highlights, but you know, it's you don't consider yourself by any means a lead in some of these films. You know what I mean? So that's why it's funny. Films, I guess if you put it that way, films that you've been in, but there's so many that had wonderful experiences. I've been really lucky when you think about it. And just recently doing some things, but And there's television shows that were just tremendous experiences, you know, whether they were Law and Order's Crime Story, you know, Ray Donovan, Shameless. Yeah. I got to be on Blacklist, and James Spader was just something to work with him and to work with Bill on Shameless, even though it's one scene, you know, it was William was William so great. Mason, yeah. And Ray Donovan with John Voight and the whole crew on that.
What I love, Mike, too, though, when I was looking at your IMDb page, you've got a ton of projects that aren't even out yet. So you're still working hard. I would love to have you come back soon. And don't hit the gym too much, though, dude, because you look like a welter. You look like a welterweight. You're missing the intimidating.
Trying to get the linebacker weight.
There you go, Mike. Thank you so much for your time tonight. It's great to meet you, and
thank you.
Love to have you back on sometime, buddy.
I really appreciate this. All right. Cass. Our kids, all of them.
Keep up
those grandchildren.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mike. Have a great night.
Hey, Mikey. All right, kids.
All right. That's Mike Starr, ladies and gentlemen. Check out. Just go to his IMDb page. In fact, you know what? Let's bring our next guest in because I'm sure Matt has seen his share of Mike's films too. Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins us now, also on the stream. Matt, you got to hear part of that interview with the great Mike Starr. Talk about an actor. Like, we've got another actor in Wisconsin, Richard Reilly, with over 300 credits. Mike has, like, he's got to be pushing 300 credits just with films. And that's not even talking about the TV he did. I mean, what a great career.
Yeah, I think I actually pulled up his IMDb while you were doing that interview, and I think the number is like 249 on IMDb,
jeez,
which is wild. And I mean, to have a year in which you are in Goodfellas and Miller's Crossing same year, that's a pretty good way to live.
Absolutely.
Like, that alone would be a Hall of Fame year. And then, you know, there's the rest of his career to go with it. So that's kind of the dream career, you know, just like being memorable in movies. Great movies. Like, yeah. What a great career to have.
Absolutely. And I think Miller's Crossing to me is, you know, I do these classic movie picks, and it's funny. I've got two Mike Starr movies. Last week I did Miller's Crossing. Jim Carrey's name came up, so I did Dumb and Dumber this week. But Miller's Crossing is a very underrated, not underrated, because I think people think it's great, but that film executed brilliantly, writing, directing, absolutely, acting, the look, the aesthetics, so great.
I mean, he's arguably in three modern great directors' best movies.
Right.
He's in Miller's Crossing by the Coen brothers, which I think is probably top three Coen brothers. He's in Goodfellas, same, which I would say is like a top three Scorsese. And he's in Ed Wood, which I think is probably top three Tim Burton. Like,
right,
three people who invented like modern cinema and greats of our times. And he was a part of all three of some of their best projects. That's a good way to live.
Absolutely. All right, so Matt Miller is here, folks, Milwaukee film critic. You can follow him at A Man About Film. He has a Substack there, does great work. We're going to get into some of the Milwaukee Film Festival. Matt, I'm relying on you because I think I mentioned on the air a couple times I was in Madison a couple weeks ago hosting Q&As, doing all that kind of stuff. I'm not as up on Milwaukee, which is a phenomenal film festival. So I want to get into that with you, and anything else you want to talk about, we'll do movies and TV. Thanks for sticking with us. We had some technical issues earlier, but it's great to have you here. And we will be back after the news. Matt Miller will keep you up to date, folks, on what you can expect at the Milwaukee Film Festival. And I can't wait to talk to Matt about Warfare either. We'll talk about that. That's all coming up after the news with Matt Miller. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Madison City Clerk resigned 1 month after being placed on paid leave. Mary Beth Witzel-Bell was under investigation into why nearly 200 absentee ballots cast in the November election were never counted. A release from the City of Madison says Witzel-Bell was first appointed to the position in 2006 and oversaw more than 60 elections. The city clerk's office announced in late December that absentee ballots from three wards were never counted, but that would not have changed the results of any race. The Wisconsin Elections Commission voted last month to depose Witzel-Bell, and a liberal law firm has filed a class action lawsuit against the city and Dane County on behalf of Madison voters. A homicide in Dane County is being investigated. Sheriff's deputies responding to a home in the village of Blue Mounds late Monday morning found a 54-year-old woman with serious injuries that eventually led to her death. A 31-year-old woman who drove away from the scene was apprehended and is considered a person of interest. The relationship between the two is unknown. The medical examiner will determine the cause and manner of the victim's death. The Richland School Board met Monday night and unanimously approved, were the distinguished staff criteria, revisions to the 2025-26 employee handbook, private school transportation, policy updates to the Neola subscription, and the donation of carnations to the partner school from Added Touch Floral. The Richland School Board also approved revisions to the 2025-26 student handbook on a 6-1 vote with Scott Bailing, Aaron Unbehan, Neil Huntemer, Robin Dickman, Sheila Troxell, and Lee Van Landite voting in favor, and Brady Doudna voting against. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Yesterday in the Hollywood Beats, I reported that White Lotus Season 3 star Amy Lou Wood was hurt by the portrayal of her character during a sketch on Saturday Night Live last weekend. She called the portrayal mean and unfunny. Wood took to Instagram to clarify that she was not upset with Sarah Sherman, the actress who played her in the sketch. She also said Saturday Night Live reached out to her and apologized privately. Katy Perry was in space for 8 minutes aboard a spacecraft sponsored by tech company Blue Origin. The spacecraft crossed the outer space barrier for a few minutes before coming back down to Earth. One of Perry's spacemates, Gail King, said Perry sang "What a Wonderful World" as they floated along. Blue Origin is owned by Jeff Bezos, whose wife, Lauren Sanchez, was also on board the flight. This marks the first time in history six women have gone into space on a mission that achieved almost nothing while wearing bell bottoms. Money well spent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 30s. And turning mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high in the mid-60s with some showers and storms in the afternoon and especially in the evening. Still some rain and storms around Friday, high 65 to 70. Currently 57 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll talk issues that matter to you with State Senator Sarah Kieski and also Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. Also, the NFL Draft of the Packers. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night as we broadcast over our beautiful state of Wisconsin. And we talk about the things in life that makes us happy. Movies, TV, music, comedy. And Matt Miller. Matt Miller makes me happy. And he is here, the Milwaukee film critic. Matt, it's great to talk to you. And he's going to tell us what we can see at the Milwaukee Film Festival, what we might want to see or circle out. And then we'll get into some movie talk. Matt, it's great to have you here, and good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, great time for a movie buff in Milwaukee and Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, so what is your, you know, rather than start with movies we want to see, give people a little background, if you could, just a thumbnail of the Milwaukee Film Festival. I know they've tried to raise their profile in recent years. They've got great venues. They're real movie buffs there, but tell us what you know.
Yeah, so if I recall, I'm trying to remember the timeline on this, but the Milwaukee Film Festival in its current form has been around for about 15, 20 years, I believe. This year, they are kind of compacted down. They normally used to be a part of the Avalon and the Times. They used to be all across those theaters. This year, they're very centered in the Milwaukee East Side area. All their screenings are going to be taking place at the Oriental and Downer Theater, which are their two historic cinemas. They're gorgeous spaces, really great places to take in movies. Highly recommend checking it out. And yeah, they've got over 200 movies this year across all sorts of spectrums. If you like indie dramas, wow. If you like documentaries, if you like movies for kids, if you like insane late night horror movies, you know, they have pretty much, I always tell people about the Milwaukee Film Festival, if they don't have something that interests you, you just aren't interested in things. Like, right. You're just not an interesting person. So, I mean, you'll find something at the Milwaukee Film Festival for you to watch. And I'm going to try to, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about a bunch of their selections during the segment, but I really highly recommend people checking out their website and going through the program book. And like I said, I think you'll find at least something that piques your interest.
It's so great, too, to watch movies with other movie buffs. Like, sometimes when you go to the theater or a megaplex, you don't know what to expect, and you don't know who you're watching movies with. Sometimes they talk or they crunch food the whole time. Like when you see film festival movies, especially at a festival like Milwaukee, you're there with people who engross themselves in the movie. And that like, you feel part of something. You know, it's great.
Yeah, it's a crowd of people who are excited to submit themselves to a movie. And in a lot of cases, submit themselves to a movie, like you said, that they don't know much about, you know? You really, obviously, you can do a ton of research into these things, watch trailers, read reviews and all of that, but it's kind of fun to go into a movie sometimes and be like, I know one sentence about this thing. I know a sentence and a still. Show me what you've got. Those have always been kind of the most exciting Milwaukee Film Festival experiences, is walking into something being like, oh, I don't know. This is my fourth movie of the day. I don't know if I really wanted to. And then you walk out and you're like, oh, that was the best thing I saw this entire festival. That's always a really fun experience.
I did that at the Wisconsin Film Festival a couple of weeks ago. I saw a new film called The Threesome. And it's the best romantic comedy I've ever seen. And it's Zoe Deutsch, who's kind of, you know, on the path to fame, or she's already there, I guess. And Ruby Cruz, a great cast, great direction. I cannot wait to see it again or see what happens with it, if it goes right to streaming or theaters. But those are the kind of movies you can kind of be pleasantly surprised by. What stands out at this year's Milwaukee Film Festival? Are there any big films you think people are going to flock to?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is going to be The Shrouds. That is the new David Cronenberg movie.
Oh, okay.
For those who don't know, David Cronenberg, The Fly, Scanners, Crimes of the Future. He's a big body horror guy. And this one is still kind of in that realm. It's about a man who's mourning his wife and is trying to communicate with her via these kind of weird technological methods. But also David Cronenberg, I believe his partner passed in recent years, and this is kind of a very personal movie for him. I remember it got a kind of lukewarm response when it premiered at some of the big overseas festivals. I think it premiered at Cannes. But honestly, that makes me more excited about it, because when a movie like this premieres at a festival and people are kind of like, oh, I don't know, it didn't knock me on my butt, that tells me that, oh, it's maybe not like an Oscar movie. you know, yeah, or maybe right. they watched it and they weren't like, oh, this is like a $100 million grossing movie. This tells me that this is something interesting. It's kind of like how whenever the Coen brothers release a new movie nowadays, the first reaction is always like, oh, I don't know. It's light and it's frivolous. It's not that good. And then everyone sees it and they're like, oh, it's tremendous. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Sometimes the film festival crowd is a little cynical and a little kind of, you know, where's the money about it? And I just really want to see a really, really interesting David Cronenberg movie, a really personal one, because there's only one David Cronenberg. There's a lot of pretenders out there. There's a lot of people who are inspired by him, but only David Cronenberg can make David Cronenberg movies. So I'm really excited for The Shrouds. I think that's going to be a big one. I'm also excited to check out a documentary called Secret Mall Apartment, which is about exactly what it sounds like, which is about
that sounded
20 years
really
ago.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 20 years ago, a bunch of friends built like a secret apartment inside of a mall and lived in it. And it's kind of about their kind of, you know, interesting dynamic and how like the mall world and how culture changed. I'm really excited to check that one out if that sounds interesting as well. There's also a documentary that goes to all across the country and finds former Pizza Hut locations. And if you're one of those people who remembers like the old 90s Pizza Hut places, they were so architecturally particular. You always can tell, recognize when something used to be a Pizza Hut.
Like an IHOP too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. These places are like the old McDonald's with the double arches and stuff like that. And it goes to these former Pizza Huts and finds what is in them now and kind of details what American life is like now via Pizza Huts, which is, I think, a really fun premise for a documentary. And the person who did it also did a documentary at the film festival a few years ago called We Don't Deserve Dogs, which was a really good documentary that took a similar approach, but it was how different cultures and different people across the globe, you know, how dogs fit into their lives and the meaning that dogs have. And I thought that was a very powerful, really well done documentary. So I'm excited to see what that director does with Pizza Huts.
I'm excited to see the mall one, like just to see how they did that and how they did.
Right?
Did they get discovered or was it like a covert thing? I would imagine it was.
I will have to find out. Yeah. I'm excited to find out more about that one. And so that one's very exciting. And then you have their centerpiece movies. They've got two documentaries and a rom-com as their kind of opening, closing, and centerpiece movies. The opening movie is Sally, about Sally Ride, the astronaut, and kind of the truly back when a woman going into space actually meant something and was actually historic and actually a feat for feminism. Right. And it kind of tells Sally Ride's story both on the shuttle and off the shuttle, because she also has a fascinating life beyond, you know, what she did with NASA. The centerpiece movie is a documentary about librarians and about them fighting back against book banning and, you know, kind of freedom of speech and all these kind of moves we're seeing in our political scene right now.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a very good documentary as well. Very obviously very prescient, very of the moment documentary. And then the closing night movie is a rom-com called Jane Austen Wrecked My Life.
Oh, great.
About a woman who's a big Jane Austen fan, and she kind of finds herself in a Jane Austen-esque romantic love triangle situation. I think that's a kind of very charming, light, fun way to kind of, you know, end 15 days of cinema. I think so. Again, you can see in those three movies right there a very wide swath of, you know, really interesting stuff. And, you know, if you're a midnight movie person, if you really enjoyed The Substance, which I know we talked a lot about this past year, it was kind of the indie horror hit of 2024, you might want to check out The Ugly Stepsister, which is in a similar vein, I would say, kind of the 18th century version of it, where it's a woman trying to, you know, win her way into high society and be respected by the world, starts resorting to kind of body horror transformations. Very buzzy on the indie horror market. So if you're looking for a late night, you know, excitement, I think The Ugly Stepsister could be really fun as well. If you don't mind your movies being a little graphic and gory and a little cringe inducing in the best way possible.
There's a movie from a local filmmaker, All That Glitters. I think he's a first time director. Noah, where did I have that? I just had that up. I was just wondering if you knew anything. Noah Meister.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that director or that film all that well, but obviously you do have a lot of Cream City Cinema selections as well during the film festival, which is always great. A lot of really interesting options in that category as well. I know we talked about a dog documentary from a few film festivals ago, but there's one about cats this year called 25 Cats from Qatar. I think I mispronounced that. My apologies. That one is also a Cream City Cinema documentary about the owner of Sip and Purr Cat Cafe trying to bring cats from Doha, the capital of that country, where they're having kind of a feral cat crisis there. Oh, and wow. This owner is trying to bring these cats to America and find them owners and, you know, kind of give these animals a place to live. So lots of really fun stuff. Again, from all over the place, from near, from far, a lot of great movies to check out at the film festival. From new and old as well, they're going to be screening Nosferatu, the original Nosferatu.
Oh, nice.
They're going to have a live orchestra, playing alongside that. And that movie still holds up. If you really liked the remake that came out this past Christmas, you'll definitely want to see the original version during the film festival as well. Lots of really fun. There's never a bad year. Every year I get nervous that this is going to be the year where there's just not that much to see. And every year I look at the lineup and I'm like, there's not enough hours in the day. Do I need to eat meals? Am I okay not seeing the sun for 15 days?
That's a good excuse not to do those things, though, I think. But I hear you. Matt Miller is my guest. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic and does great work at his follow him at his Substack. A Man About Film. Right? At A Man About Film, I should say.
Man About Film. And you can follow A Man About Down, but film.
And you can follow him on Blue Sky as well. Okay, so we've covered some Milwaukee Film Festival stuff. I'm going to have several guests, I guess, over the next week or so from the directors from the films, which will be exciting. But that is a great overview of the festival, Matt. Can we pivot to a movie that's in theaters right now called Warfare? I'd love to get your take on that film.
Absolutely. We can absolutely do that.
So, Matt is a very good cat owner, very patient cat owner. And
sorry, I was getting menaced by a cat.
No, it was very funny because the tail just kind of came up and I'm like, what is that? I'm like, oh yeah, Matt has a cat. I forgot about that. So
yeah, I forget I have a cat too sometimes.
So what was your take? I saw Warfare last weekend, didn't know a whole lot about it going in. And I love that. And my son saw it and he said, Dad, you got to see this. It's phenomenal. What a unique, is A24 just the coolest studio in the world now? Are they making really cool stuff that's a little bit different sometimes?
They make the movies that Hollywood stopped making.
Yeah.
You know, they make the adult dramas and the interesting kind of, you know, experimental, unpredictable movies that the rest of Hollywood's major studios kind of gave up on, which is, you know, disappointing. And now, you know, they kind of made their bed and now they're they have to sleep in it, where, you know, only A24 kind of has the brand to get people to show up to cinemas like for movies like Warfare, which I really enjoy. I really thought Warfare was really well done. It's a very intense experience. I think it's extremely well done in terms of the approach, in terms of really kind of like, there's no characters, there's no story,
right. There's
no like mission objectives, really. It is just, you know, a depiction of these guys in the middle of a quagmire that they kind of create.
They're just reacting. Yeah,
I think it's a really well done movie. I know the concept of, you know, war is hell is not exactly a novel concept. You know, no one at Warfare is getting credit for coming up with the idea that, you know, war is bad. But I think this is a very really well done version of that. It does what movies like Black Hawk Down and Lone Survivor kind of fail to do, which those movies kind of end up too entertaining. They look, they're too flashy when they're trying to make, you know, movies about, you know, how war is, you know, ugly and bad.
Great point.
You know, we've made grave mistakes. You know, Black Hawk Down is first and foremost an action movie. You know, Lone Survivor is a movie that I found really fetishized the soldiers dying to a degree. Like, whereas Warfare is a movie about, like, there's nothing good to come of this.
Right.
This is just, you know.
Let's pick people up there after. We got to do a really short break, Matt. Let's pick up there when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We're hanging out with Matt Miller on the Civic Media Radio Network. To bring some love in here today. Oh, pick it light.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off-ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwab. The Milwaukee Film Festival takes place April 24th. I believe that's Monday, I think, right? Does that sound right, Conrad?
Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's April 24th through May 8th. Check out their film festival. It's going to be a great time. We just talked about some of that, some of the offerings this year with Matt Miller, who is our guest right now, Milwaukee film critic. Matt, we were talking about Warfare, and I agree with you. And that was a great way to put it, fetishizes soldiers. These guys in Warfare, and this is a reason it's maybe my favorite, if you can have a favorite war film, that sounds terrible, but their reactions, and a lot of these guys were concussed after this attack, but it's this buildup. There's this great scene where they're a Steve Winwood song, Valerie, is playing, and they're watching an exercise video, and then the film just goes in a completely different direction. It's the one fun moment in the film. There's a long buildup, which is probably what it's like, and then how they cope with it, and they're so human. Despite all this Navy SEAL training and how talented these guys are at what they do, I loved how real it seemed.
Yeah, and it really is a fascinating thing where, like, most of the movie, I would say about half the movie is kind of an intense boredom.
Yeah.
Where it's just them in this house that they have, you know, commandeered for reasons we don't know why and for reasons that, you know, end up being meaningless.
Right.
Just kind of waiting around, but there is this tension of, like, any minute now things could go sideways.
Right.
And but it is just like them sitting around doing nothing, and then hell breaks loose. And it's interesting because hell doesn't break loose in this exciting, thrilling way. It is a war movie in which there isn't really a cool firefight,
right,
or there isn't like a scene of, like, you know, a well done action moment or anything. It is a movie where one, you know, kind of IED goes off and it destroys two people and the entire crew, the entire squadron. And it is done almost like a horror movie. It is not an action movie, really. If you were going into this wanting, you know, guns a-blazing action, like, right. you know, men on a mission, it isn't that. It is a movie about how war is terrible, and right. it is terrible for the people in it. It's terrible for the people who were involved in Iraq. I know a lot of people scoffed at, you know, another Iraq war apologia movie, you know, we went and now we make movies about how we feel bad about it. And it's just like, yeah, I think this movie does a really good job of being like, without being that handholdy thing of like, did you know the Iraq war was bad? Being like, we did all this dumb, you know, all amped up, all thinking we were hot S, and, you know, all we did was leave behind a broken place and yeah. broken people and achieve nothing other than, you know, wounding a lot of our own people in a lot of cases. It's a really well done. There's the famous idiom with film criticism of there's no such thing as an anti-war movie. War is inherently exciting and visceral and violent and exciting and loud. Mm. And I think Warfare does a pretty good job of being a genuine anti-war movie in terms yeah. of being like, this is terrible.
That's how I came away with it. I was like, you want to support the troops? Don't send them there unless you yeah. absolutely have to. Don't cheapen what these guys do and what they've mm-hmm. learned and how we are lucky to have them. It's just crazy. Matt, we've got yeah. a couple minutes left. We'll have to have you. Hopefully, maybe we can get you back on next week and finish part of this conversation. But do you, in like 2 minutes or less, what did you think of The Amateur?
I don't think of The Amateur very much. It's a very, it is to quote the kids today, it's very mid, yeah. you know, and I feel bad because, you know, it's a original, I mean, it's based on a book, but it is a, you know, original movie for adults, you know, out in theaters. And I just was watching it being like, where's the interesting angle on this? You right. know, where's the kind of part to this that seems different? And for those who don't know, this is the Rami Malek action thriller about a guy who's a CIA guy, intelligence officer whose wife dies in a hostage situation. So he becomes, you know, an avenging angel.
avenging analyst.
Because yeah. he's just a guy, which I think that would be interesting, but he ends up like, it doesn't do much in an interesting way. I found not that movie right. pretty... It is not the worst movie you'll see this year, but I cannot imagine people remembering that movie a week from now.
he's one of the producers, and I feel like he was missed. I didn't buy him in the role. He's got such a unique look. I was just kind of like, man, I am really not buying him. And then he would do something, and it's like they didn't set it up or how he did it. It's just like, oh, he made the door explode because he's smart. You know, it's just kind of weird.
It's a movie that can't quite figure out how capable he is supposed to be as yeah. – you know,
right,
like, is this supposed to be a movie about a guy who's totally new and amateur at this and is bad at it? Or is he secretly, you know, the coolest guy ever who's secretly really good at this? They can't kind of hedge their bets. And they're like, well, he's got to be a little cool. He's got to do a few cool things. It's just,
right.
it's a nothing burger of a movie.
Agreed. Matt, always fun, buddy. We'll have to. I get so much more I wanted to get to with you. Maybe we could set something up. I'll reach out to you. But thank you so much for your time tonight. Always fun. And let that cat out. Let the cat out. Come on.
I know. Well, hey, I'll let the cat in now. The cat.
Or let the cat in. Yeah. All right.
One shirt ruined later.
That's Matt Miller. Check him out at A Man About Film on Substack. Follow him on Blue Sky. Always fun to talk to Matt. Tomorrow night on the show, making the popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, how excited for you? You're a sports guy.
I am a sports guy.
Who's coming? Who's going to be here?
Well, Civic Media's own Mike Clemens.
You're damn right. Mike Clemens will be here making the popcorn pick of the week. It's going to be so much fun. And then Amanda Nimmer joins us in the second hour, and we'll talk to Amanda what's happened. We're going to give Amanda a Manitowoc quiz.
Yeah.
We'll see how she does about that. Mm-hmm. We'll have to put our heads together and come up with some cool stuff other than the big three things about Manitowoc. But we'll do that tomorrow. As always, so much fun. Thank you to Mike Starr, Matt Miller, and all your texts and being part of Nightlight. It is always so much fun, folks, to talk to you every night from 6 to 8. I'm Pete Schwabba. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin. I'll take you to your best friend's house. I loved you then and I love you now. Oh, don't take me a turn of time. Don't wait, no goodbye. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on The Earl Ingram Show, we'll be giving a cheerful farewell to Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. It's been an amazing journey, but this is not the end. He'll still be involved in my podcast down the line.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A federal judge has found probable cause that the Trump administration acted in contempt of court when officials defied his order last month to turn around two planes carrying alleged Venezuelan gang members to El Salvador.
The judge now preparing to launch an official investigation, which could include officials testifying under oath. He even raises the remarkable prospect of appointing an independent lawyer to prosecute the government for contempt. President Trump has praised the deportations, claiming without evidence the men are violent gang members.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice filed notice that it will appeal the order from another federal judge requiring the government to take all available steps to facilitate the return of Kilmar Abrego Garcia to the U.S. after he was wrongly deported to El Salvador. A Wall Street sell-off after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told the Economic Club of Chicago that he expects the tariffs enacted by President Trump to cause higher inflation and slow economic growth. This is ABC News. Inflation concerns might be rising, but consumers haven't totally changed their